Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi Psachim Samaches. We're in the midst of a discussion regarding machanos. The pasuk teaches us that depending on the level of tumah that a person has, likewise his restriction from the machanos. So the less severe form of tumah, for instance, a tumay mace, a tumay sheretz, want to touch the mace or a sheretz, he cannot be found in the machanos shechina. In the Mishkan or in Yerushalayim would be the Beis HaMikdash. He must leave that machna. But he can be in the machna Leviya, which is the area where the Leviyim camped around the Mishkan, or in Yerushalayim would be the Harabayis. Whereas a Zav, being that his tumah is more severe, it's a higher level of tumah, it's tumah yotze megufa, it's a self-generated tumah. He is restricted from two machnos. He must leave not only the machna shechina, the actual Beis HaMikdash, but also the machna Leviya, which is the Har HaBayis. Rather, he must find himself in machna Yisrael, in Yerushalayim. Whereas the Metzora, who is even more, he's even more severe than the Tmemes and the Zav, he is restricted from all three machnos. He must position himself outside the city. Now, Rabbi Yechon told us a chiddush that a Baal Keri has the same restriction with respect to machnes, he is similar to a zav, although they're really different types of tmeim. It's a different experience. Rashi says a Baal Keri experienced a clear liquid, whereas a zav is a cloudy liquid. And despite the fact that a Baal Keri really has only a one-day tumah, it's different than a zav who can generate a seven-day tumah. So really, Baal Keri is a lighter tumah. But since it's similar in nature to a Zav, it's a self-generated Tumah, he's restricted from two machnos. He must leave not only machna Shechina, but also machna Leviya. That was Rabbi Yechonah's Chiddush. Perhaps let's back up to the bottom portion of Samach Zayin, Amud Beis. So around nine lines from the bottom. Let's go back to Rabbi Yechonah. To Amud Rabbi Yechonah. Mechelos l'niskachu. Rabbi Yechonah had two lessons that he learned from his Rebbeim. Number one, Mechelos l'niskachu. Tunnels underneath the Azara don't have the same Kedusha of the Azara. And what pertains to us is as follows. Ubal Keri mishtalech chutz l'shtei machnos. A Baal Keri must be sent out beyond the two machnos. He cannot be found in machna Shechina nor in machna Leviya. Rather, he must be in machna Yisrael. So, in this respect, he's equated to a Zav. Meisvei v'makash v'mishnah. Baal Keri kemagas sheretz. A Baal Keri is regarded simply like a person who touched the sheretz. A person who touched the sheretz is only restricted from machna shechina, but he could be in machna Leviya. My love the machanos. Apparently, should we not assume that we're equating the two with respect to the territory? Just as a magas sheretz can be situated in the machna Leviya, likewise a Baal Keri, says more loyal to Tumasam. We're equating them with respect to their tumah. What does that mean? Lutumasam? What do you mean? You need to draw a parallel from Sheretz to Baal Keri with respect to the actual tumah. Well, we know that from the Psukim. Hi Tumas Erech Ksivbe. When it comes to a person who touched the Sheretz, the Torah says he's Tamei until evening. It's a one-day tumah. Hi Tumas Erech Ksivbe. Likewise, when it comes to a Baal Keri, the Torah clearly tells us that it's a one-day tumah. We don't need that Mishnah for that. Apparently, Mishnah is coming to teach us a lesson that when it comes to territorial restrictions, a Baal Keri is equated in this regard to a Maga Sheretz and is only restricted from Machna Shechina, but can position himself in Machna Leviya. And there's a Kashan Rabbi Yechonon who says that a Baal Keri is equated to a Zav in this matter. And must leave the Machna Leviya as well. Actually, the Mishnah is simply equating it with regard to Tumah. And the lesson here is, the Baal Keri kemagas sheretz. With respect to the following element of Tumah, a Baal Keri is equated to a magas sheretz. With what? Ma magas sheretz. Metame bo'ines. Just as a person who touched the sheretz, even if it's bo'ines, this dead lizard fell on him. Against his will, he's tummy. Af Baal Keri Matame Boinus, the same thing happens to Baal Keri, should he see the Keri as a result of some unnatural phenomenon, Rashi says, overeating, overdrinking, he is still Tame. So when it comes to this element, the element of Oinus, the Mishnah is teaching us that a Baal Keri is similar to a Magasheretz and will be Tame, as opposed to a Zav, who does not get Tuma if he experienced it as a result of an Oinus. So bottom line, Rabbi Yochanan tells us that a Baal Keri is restricted from two machanes. He must leave the machane Shechina and the machane Levia, and in this regard he's similar to a Zav, because in both cases it's a self-generated Tumah. But of course when it comes to the severity of the Tumah, or the acquisition of Tumah, he's not equated to the Zav in that regard. A Baal Keri is only a one-day Tumah, and he can even get it by this. Meisvei, let's continue with a kasha from the next part of that Mishnah. Mishnah continues, Boil Nida, Kit Mei Meis, a person who lives with a Nida, he has the same Tumah as a person who touched a Meis. Lamai, with respect to what, are we equating the two things? Ilei Melu Tum Asam, perhaps with respect to the duration of Tumah, just as a Tumah Meis is a Tumah for 7 days, a Boil Nida acquires her Tumah, which is a 7-day Tumah. Is that the point of the Mishnah? We know that from the Psukim. High Tumas Shiva Ksibay. A Tame Mace is Tame for 7 days because of the Pasuk. The High Tumas Shiva Ksibay. Same thing with regards to a Boil Nida. The Pasuk clearly says that he's Tame for 7 days. We don't need a Mishnah for that. Elalav Lamacha Noisam. Apparently, the Mishnah here is coming to teach us that a Boil Nida is restricted from the Machnos, has the same limitation as a Tame Mace. And just as a Tame Mace is only restricted from one machna, from machna shchina, but can position himself in machna levia, a bayil nida, although he acquires his tumah from a nida who has a self-generated tumah, but the bayil nida doesn't really acquire the same level of tumah. He is simply treated like a tmei meis. It's 7 days, but he is only restricted from machna shchina. That's the point of the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, umet the sefer lemachanois. Apparently, since the second portion of the Mishnah, the one we just learned, is in the context of the territorial restrictions. Let's assume that the Reisha, the first portion of the Mishnah, which equates Baal Keri to a Tamei Sheretz, is also with regards to territorial restrictions. And the Mishnah clearly equates a Baal Keri to a person who became Tamei through a Sheretz. In this regard, apparently a Baal Keri is only restricted like a Maga Sheretz from one Machna, from Machna Shechina, but he can be situated in Machna Levia different than a Zav, and there's a Kashan Rabbi Yochanan. Midi area, is that a Raya? Hakadisa, Vakadisa. Each portion of the Mishnah is in a different context. The second portion of the Mishnah, you're right, is certainly equating the Baal Nida to Tmei Meis with respect to Machnis. But the Resha, which equates Baal Keri to Maga Sheretz, perhaps is unrelated to Machnes, rather with respect to the nature of the Tumah itself, with regards to Tumas Oines. But certainly, a Baal Keri perhaps is restricted more than a Maga Sheretz. He needs to leave both Machnes, and in that regard, he's equated to a Zav. May save a Makash from the following price. Mitzera Chamam Zav. A Mitzera has more restrictions than a Zav, because a Mitzera must remain in complete solitude outside of all the Machnes. He's restricted from all three Machnes. So in that respect, he's more Chomer than a Zav, who's restricted from two Machnes, but he can stay in the Machnes Yisro. V'Zav Chomer Mitmei Meis. Likewise, a Zav is more chamer than a Tmei Meis, because a Tmei Meis is only restricted, only limited, from Machne Shechina. So we have a hierarchy. Tmei Meis must leave the Machne Shechina, the Zav, even the Machne Levia, and the Metzera, beyond all the Machnes. Continues the Brisa. Yotze Baal Keri. A Baal Keri is accepted. He leaves the category. She Tmei Meis chamer mimenu. A Tmei Meis is more chamer than him. What's going on here? What does the Braisa mean? Ma yotz. What do we mean when we say Baal Keri is yotz? Should we not assume it means lav yotze mechlal zov? That a balkeri is unlike a zov. He left the zov category when it comes to machna restrictions. And he's included in the category of a tmei meis. He has the same restrictions as a tmei meis. Meaning that a zav is restricted from two machnes. A balkeri, however, is more lenient. It's a lighter tuma. And he's not considered like a zav. Rather, he's equated to a tmei meis. Why? The tmei meis chomer menu. Because a tmei meis is even more severe, more chomer than a balkeri. Balkeri is only a one-day tumah. Tmei meis is a seven-day tumah. Umut of machan levia. A tmei meis who is more chomer is still mutter machan levia. Certainly a balkeri who has a lighter form of tumah than a tmei meis, it's only a one-day tumah. Of course, he's mutter to be machan levia. So it seems that the Braisi here is drawing a line between zav, who must remain outside of machne shchina and machan levia, drawing a line between that and Balkeri, who can be in Machan Leviyah. This is the Kasha Rabbi Yochanan. This is my lie. That's not what the Braisa means. The Braisa is as follows. Yotzam Machne Tmei Meis V'nichnas L'machne Zav. Just the opposite. A Balkeri leaves the general formula, meaning that the various levels of territorial restriction really correspond to the chumrah of the tumah, right? A tmei meis, which is deemed the lightest of all, he must only leave one machna, machna shchin. A zav, even the machna leviyah. A metzira, even the machna yisrael. It would seem, based on this formula, that a balkeri, which is only a one day tumah, would have no more restrictions than a tmei meis. It can't be. If a tmei meis is allowed a machan levia, certainly a balkeri, who is more kal than even a tmei meis. No, yotza mimachne tmei meis. We say that a balkeri was yotza. He leaves this formula. He has his own status, and he is yotza mimachne tmemeis. He must leave the machne tmemeis. V'nichnas l'machne zav. And he enters the machne of a zav, the restrictions of a zav. He leaves the restrictions of a tmemeis, who is only restricted to machne shchina. And he enters into the classification, into the same category and restriction as the zav. Meaning, he must be in the same place as the Zav is to be found. He must leave the Machne Shchina, must leave the Machne Levi, and stay with the Zav and the Machne Yisrael. Why is that? Why should we say that a Balkeri is more restricted than a Tmei Meis? Tmei Meis has a 7-day Tumah, and a Zav and a Balkeri only 1-day Tumah. V'afgav the Tmei Meis Chomer Menu. Even though a Tmei Meis is more severe, is more Chomer than a Balkeri, he has a 7-day Tumah. Mutar machan leviyah, and he is mutar machan leviyah. So how could you say that a balkeri, who is lighter than a tmei meis, he only has a 1-day tumah, should be asur in machan leviyah? How does that make sense? The answer is lemay de dami le medamin le. Because if you recall, yesterday we had a pasuk that says send away all the tmeim, kol tmei nefesh, kol zav. And the Gemara said that kol by Tmei Nefesh is coming to include even a person who touched his shirts. The other call by Zav is coming to include a Balkeri as well. So we have two Ribuyim, Koil and Koil. Now, when we're dealing with a Balkeri, the Torah is coming to include Balkeri as well. Which call is coming to include Balkeri? Meaning, to what should we compare the Balkeri? To a Tmei Meis? Or to a Zav? Let's analyze. Who is Balkeri more similar to? He's certainly more similar in nature to a Zav because both of them are self-generated tumois. Therefore, says the Gemara, Lamai the Damile, Midaminile. We compare the Balkari to the tumor, which is more similar to him in nature, which is Azov, rather than a Tmei Mace, which is something of a tumor which is received from an external source. And this is similar to a Balkari. Therefore, we prefer comparing the Balkari to Azov. So when it comes to restrictions, machna limitations, just as a Zav must leave the machna Shechina and the machna Leviya, likewise a Balkari. Tani Tano Kameda Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. So now Meir, who would present brises, presented the following brise in front of Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. The Pasuk says that a Balkari must leave the machna and cannot enter the machna. V'yotze al mechus la-machna, zu machna Shechina. He must leave the machna Shechina. The pasuk continues, Lo yavo al teicha machne. What is that? Don't enter the machne. Zu machne levia. So what does this teach us? Mikan lebalkeri, sheyetzei chus shtei machnes. He must not be found, A, a machne shchina, and B, even a machne levia. Amalei. So Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi responded. The wording of this price is a bit problematic. We say, v'yotza mechus la-machne means, leave the machne shchina. Well, Yovel Tacha Machne means don't go into Machne Leviya. Omerle, Akati Loy Ayalte. Look, you haven't even discussed whether the Balkari is to be found in the Machne Leviya. Ah, Fikte? He's already exited? You're telling him, don't go into the Machne Leviya. Apparently, he's already left the Machne Leviya. We haven't yet discussed whether or not he can be found there. So you're going ahead of yourself. Ishnachina is another version to his response. Akati le'afikte. You haven't yet required him to leave the Machne Levi. Ayalte. You're already warning him, don't come back in. You're going ahead of yourself. Ela ema. Rather, read the Brice as follows. Mechus la'machne z'machne Levi. The pasuk says, v'yotzo mechus la'machne. He meant to leave the Machne. It's Machne Levi that he's meant to leave. That's number one. The pasuk continues, Le'yovei al teicha machne. He's not meant to enter the machne, so machne shchina. When he leaves the machne levia, which direction should he go? Should he go back to the machne shchina, or should he leave the area entirely? Le'yovei al teicha machne. He shouldn't be heading towards the machne shchina. And indeed, we learn from here that he must leave both machnes, machne shchina and machne levia. So that's what the pasuk has to speak about both machnes. Because if the pasuk would simply make reference to one machne, you would say, well, he's standing in machne shchina. He must leave the machne shchina, but he can be in machne levia. That's why the Torah elaborates and says, leave and don't come in, to indicate that he must leave the machne levia and don't come into machne shchina. He must find himself outside both machnes. Maskev l'Ravin. Ravin asked the kasha. Eimo idi b'idil machne shchina. Perhaps the entire pasuk, the mitzvah asay, and the mitzvah Sloisa say, are both in reference to Machna Shechina. He must leave the Machna Shechina, but he can be in Machna Leviya. Why the repetition in the pasuk? V'lav v'lav be'esei v'loisa say. They're simply telling us that, number one, he must leave the Machna Shechina, v'yotzo el mechus la-machna, which is Machna Shechina. And then also, this is Loisa say, lo yavoy el teicha machna. He should not be found in Machna Shechina. But perhaps in Machne Leviya, that's perfectly fine. Im kein le'makrov yotze al mechus la'machne. If that would be the case, Torah should have simply said he should leave the machne, but lo yovel toich, and should not enter. And both will be referring to Machne Shchina. Ha machne lomali. Why add the word ha machne? It says yotze al mechus la'machne. Why that repetition? Apparently the pasuk here is teaching us there's another machne where he cannot be found. Not only in the machne shchina, but he's also restricted from entering the machne leviya. And indeed, this supports Rabbi Yochanan that with respect to territorial restrictions, din of the machne restrictions, the Balkari is limited from entering two machnes, machne shchina and machne leviya, just as Ezav. So certainly when it comes to the length, the duration of the Tumah, a Baal Keren only has a one-day Tumah. When it comes to acquiring the Tumah, he gets it even Ba'ines, unlike Ebi Zav. When it comes to the Din of Machnais, since both Zav and Malkari are very similar in nature, they're both Tumah Yitzim Megufay, a self-generated Tumah, he must leave both Machnais, Shechina and Levi. Continues the Gemara. We're getting back to a Karban Pesach, which may be brought even on Shabbos. Mishnah tells us, Mishnah gives us a list of various procedures that can be done on Shabbos. Shechita, Zrika, U Michay Kravav. What is that? My Michay Kravav, we have two opinions. Rav Huna Amar, Shemenakvim Besaken. He can puncture the intestines with a knife to remove the waste, to prevent spoilage. Chia Bar Rav Amar, he has a different approach. Michay Kravav means Shirka de Ma'aya. So according to Rav Huna, Michay is the liquidy material, the waste material. According to Chibarav, it means Michay is the repulsive, the slime found in there. Shirka de Ma'aya, the slime found in the intestines, the Nafka Agav Ducha de Sakina, which gets extracted via applying the sakin, the pressure of the knife, extracts that slime material. So two approaches regarding the definition of Michay Kravav. Either means puncturing the intestines, Rashi says, either Michay means the soft waste, or Michay means destroying, puncturing the intestines like Timche Zech HaMalek. And according to the second approach, Michay is in reference to the Dover Bazei, the repulsive material, the slimy material, which is going to be extracted through pressure applied by a knife. Omar Rabbi Lazar, my time at the Chiba Rav. Where is the support, where is the raya for Chiba Rav's approach that Michay is a reference to something repulsive and rejected? The Pasuk says, this is La'asad Lovey, V'charvais Mechim Gorem Yoichel. So the charvais of the Mechim, the Gemara is going to say it means the ruins, the assets of the Mechim, of the repulsive ones, the Goyim, Gorem Yoichel, the tzaddikim, are going to inherit. My mashma, how do we see from this pasuk? The Tagim of Yosef, as Rav Yosef translates, V'nechsein the Rishaya, the assets, the ruins of the Rishayim, Mecharvis Mechem. So Mechem are the Rishon, the repulsive ones. So we see that Mechem means something repulsive. Tzadikai Yachsim and Tzadikim will inherit. Okay, continues the Gemara. Let's go back to the first part of that Pasuk, of the Pasuk that we just quoted. La'asad Lavai, V'ro Kvasim Kid Davram. Kvasim, the sheep, will pasture as was described, as was promised. And the Pasuk continues, V'chorvis Mechem Gorm Yechil. Explains the Gemara. What does Kedavra mean? Amar Menashe Bar Yirmiyah Amarav. Kime Duberbam. As was promised to them. My Kime Duberbam. What exactly was promised? What's going on here? Amar Abai. V'chorvis Mechem Gorm Yechilu. The Pasuk initially describes that the Kvasim, which is a reference to the Tzadikim, they will pasture and they will receive what they were promised. And the Pasuk continues, what exactly is that? They will inherit the Nechasim of the Rishon, B'chorvis Mechem Gorm Yechil. Amalei Rav. So according to you, it's one continuous description. They will get, as promised, which is inherit the assets of Rishon. Bishlai Meksiv Chorvis. If the Pasuk would have the word Chorvis without a Vav, Kedika Amris, then it would, indeed, it would make sense. It would work. And the pasuk begins, V'ro kvasim kedavram. What exactly will they get? Chorvas mechem gorm yechel. But the pasuk has an extra letter. Hashtadichse v'chorvas. The pasuk reads as follows. V'ro kvasim kedavram. V'chorvas mechem gorm yechel. It sounds like it's another topic that's being referenced here. So first, V'ro kvasim kedavram, they will pasture as promised. That's one thing, one element. And then the pasuk describes something else entirely. The charbis mechem gar mechelu, the tzaddikim will inherit the charbis of the rishon. So what is the first pasuk referring to? El amarav, kidrav chanan al marav, the amar of chanan al marav. The first part of the pasuk is speaking about something else. Asidin tzaddikim shiyichus hameisim. The tzaddikim will have the ability, lasad lavi, to revive meisim, shiyichayus hameisim. Ksivach avro kvasim kadavram. The pasuk here says that the kvasim, the tzaddikim, will be ro, they will pasture kadavram. What does kadavram mean? They will have the same power as was described and as was attributed to other tzaddikim. Elio Hanavi, Elisha Hanavi, Hu Machayim Meisim. And the Asad Lavi tzaddikim will have that ability. How do we know that the pasuk of Vero Kvasim Kedavram is in reference to Tchias Meisim? We learn it by applying Gzeres Shavah. Because over here it says Vero Uksiv Hasam, and elsewhere it says Yiru Bashan VeGilad Kimei Olam. That Bashan VeGilad will be Roya as in times, in the past times. What is this referring to? Who is Bashan VeGilad here? Bashan Ze Elisha. That's in reference to Elisha Hanavi. Why? Because he came from Bashan. Habomina Bashan. Shenemar. How do we know that Elisha came from Bashan? Shenemar V'yani V'shafat B'Bashan. So Yani and Shafat were from Bashan. Uksiv, Poi Elisha ben Shafat. So Elisha was the son of Shafat. So apparently he also came from Bashan. Elisha ben Shafat, Asher Yotzak Mayim Al Yedei Elio. So he poured water, he served Elio Anavi. So we see that Elisha was a son of Shafat, who came from Bashan. So when the pasuk says, Yiru Bashan V'Gilad, that's in reference to Bashan's in reference to Elisha, that he was Mechayim Meisim, and Yiru means he's going to be Mechayim Meisim just as in times past. So that's Bashan. What about Gilad? Yiru Bashan V'Gilad. Gilad is a reference to Elio. Gilad is Elio. Because he came from Gilad. Shenema v'ayem Elio ha-tishbi mi-teisha v'Gilad. So we find that Yiru Bashan V'Gilad is a reference to people, tzaddikim that are Mechayim Meisim. So Yiru is a description attributed to Tchias HaMeisim. Likewise, the pasuk here, V'ro Kvasim Kedavram, is a reference to tzaddikim Lassad Lavai, who will be Roya, they will have that ability to revive, to pastor, to revive, to Mechayim Meisim. Just as those tzaddikim, Kedavram, just as described by those tzaddikim who had the ability to be Mechayim Meisim. Omar Rav Shmuel Rachmeinu Rav Yonason, Asitim Tzadikim Sheichayim Meisim. Another raya to the same concept. Shenemar Oid Yeshu Zekeinim Zekeinois B'Rachayim Yerushalayim. Lasad Lavai Zekeinim Zekeinois will sit in the streets of Yerushalayim. V'ish Mish Antoi B'Yodoi Merav Yomim. And the pasuk he learns that Ish Mish Antoi means that an Ish, a Tzadik, will have a Mish Enas in his hand. A cane, which he will use as a tool to be Mechayim Meisim. How do we know that a cane is a tool used for this purpose? Uksiv v'samta mish'anti apni hanar. This is a reference to Elisha, who gave instructions, take my cane and put it apni hanar be Mechayim Meisim. So the ish mish'anti b'yodah is a reference to a tzaddik who will have this ability to Mechayim Meisim asalom. Ula Rami, Ula asked a steer between two psukim. Lasad Labi, it says, Ksiv Bila Hamavis Lanetzach. Hashem will obliterate the entire concept of the Malch Hamavis forever. There won't be a concept of death any longer. But then it has a pasuk which says, Uksiv Kanar Ben Meishon Yomus. And now will die when he reaches 100. So death will be prevalent. So which way is it? Like Kasha, the answer is, depends. By who? Can be Yisrael. Yisrael will live forever. Kan ba'akam, goyim, will have a time limit. V'abdi kechavim, my bo'asam. What are goyim doing there? Says the Gemara, the Chassiv, yeah, they will have a role, they will play a part in life, l'asad lavi. V'amdu zorim, v'ro'ot tzoynchem. Yeah, even the goyim will come, they'll help us out, they'll pasture your flock. U'bnei necher, ikreichem, ikreichem, the goyim will be your farmers and your vineyard tenders. Continues the Gemara, Avchiza Rami, Avchiza had a steer. K'siv v'chofra halavana, u'boi sha'achama. That l'asad lavi, the moon will be embarrassed. The sun will be full of shame and they won't be active. They'll hide. So they won't illuminate. That's one pasuk. Uksiv, in another pasuk we find that actually they'll illuminate very, very intensely. V'hoya ur halavona karachama. The dim moonlight will radiate like today's sunlight. Very intense. V'arachama. And the sunlight will be yeshivasayim ka'er shivasayim. It will be shivasayim like the days of today, the 7 days. Rashi says that shivasayim is a double seven. 7 times 7. So it will be 49 times what? The total light found within the 7 days of the week. So really, it's 7 times 7 times 7 of a single day's light. So Rashi says 343 times the intensity of today's light. So certainly sun and moon will be very active. So which one is it? Deactivated or activated in a very intense manner? Lekash, the answer is Kan Leilam Haba. In Leilam Haba, which is a future stage, past Yom HaMashiach, then the only illumination that we will experience is spiritual illumination coming from the Ziv HaShechinah. We don't need that physical sunlight any longer. However, when it comes to Yom HaMashiach, in which case we're going to experience a this worldly living experience, it's going to be a physical living experience. So at that point, we will still have the illumination coming from the sun and the moon. However, very intense. Says the Shmuel, the Amar, according to Shmuel Shita, who said, "Ein bein Olam Hazeh l'Moed HaMashiach." There's no difference between Olam Hazeh and Moed HaMashiach. Ella Shibud Malchus Bavad. There's only one difference. You will be free of the Shibud Malchus, the subservience to the nation of the world. But we will be living a very normal and natural existence. So according to him, Michael LeMaymar. How do we explain the Pesukim? According to him, sun and moon will shine very normally. Nothing supernatural about them. Says Mordechai, so according to him, we have to say, Idi v'idi l'olam haba. Both Pesukim are reference to olam haba, beyond Yom HaMashiach, when we will experience a supernatural existence. V'lai kasha, and the answer is like this. Kaba machna shechina. In the machna shechina, we will experience exclusively spiritual aura, spiritual ziv hashechina. No sun, no moon. Kaba machna tzaddikim, and the machna tzaddikim, over there will be somewhat of a natural experience, natural existence, and the sun and the moon will shine forth, albeit very intensely. Rabbi had a contradiction. Ksiv ani omas v'achaya. One pasuk says, Hashem is speaking, I will put to death, I will revive. Uksiv, mochasev ani erpa. And the same pasuk continues and says, I struck and I will remedy. I will repair the injuries. Why do we have to go to the next step? Hashtachri machi. The Torah says, Hashem says, I have the ability to be machaya. Marpe le koshkin. Of course he has the ability to heal injuries. If you know one, of course you know the other. El omer HaKadosh Baruch. Rather Hashem says like this. Ma shani memes ani machaya. Don't think mis applies to one person and sustenance to the other. No, the same individual, the same neshama that I put to death, ani machaya, I will revive that same person. That's chias hamesim. Kemoisha machasev ani yarpa. Just as I heal the one who I struck, you cannot heal somebody that wasn't struck. So we're speaking about the very same individual that experiences both things, being struck and being healed. Likewise, being machai, being memes, on reference to the same individual who first experienced misa, and then Hashem will be machai the mesa. Tanu Rabbanan, we're going to the Braisa, which supports Rava's approach. The pasuk says, Ani omes v'achaya. Yochel misa be'echad, b'chaim be'echad. Perhaps, misa applies to one individual, and chaim to another. Hashem puts this one to death. And the other individual who's alive, Hashem sustains. But perhaps there's no such a concept of tchiyas ha-mesim. K'derech sha'olam noyeg, just as we see in today's world, a person dies and he dies. When Hashem is mechaya, it means Hashem sustains a living person. How do we know tchiyas ha-mesim? Talmud Lomar. The pasuk continues, Ani omas v'achai mochatav ni'erpa. And we draw a parallel. Ma maka urefo be'echad. Just as maka urefo applied to the very same individual, he is first struck and then healed. Af misa v'chai be'echad. Likewise, death and life applies to the same person. Mikane tshuva lo'imrim. Intchias ha'mesim natar. Here we have a refutation, a response to those who deny the concept of Tchias HaMesim in HaTorah. They say there's no source in the Torah for Tchias HaMesim. This pasuk provides a source, a very clear source, that Hashem will be Mechay HaMesim. Davar ach another pshat, Batchila Mashani Memes Ani Mechay. A person was nifter with an injury. Says Hashem, I revive him in two stages. First, Mashani Memes Ani Mechay. The one who I was Memes, I revive. I bring him back to life. In his state of injury. And then, v'hadar, and afterwards, masha machatzi v'ani erpa. What I struck, I will be merapin. So it happens in two phases. So first is a tchias ha-mesim, in which case we see clearly, oh, this is the person. And then Hashem heals him. So this is actually a greater ness. We see a person comes back alive with an injury, and then he's healed. So it's even a bigger ness than if it would have happened before his revival. So in conclusion, we learned that the Tzadikim L'Asalove U'imachayim Mesim, we learned that the sun and moonlight will be much greater, more intense than we have today, and we learn a source, a clear source for Tchias HaMesim in HaTorah. Continues the Gemara. So getting back to the Karban Pesach on Shabbos, you do the Shechita, the Zrika, the Michoi, Kravav, we have two pshatim, and also hektech halavav. We burn the fats on the mizbeach. Tanya or Rabbi Shimon, Bayrei, come take a look. See, really, chaylev of a korban brought today can be put on the mizbeach the following night. So why, when it comes to the tamid brought on Shabbos, and likewise the korban Pesach brought on Shabbos, we allow you to bring the chaylev today? Technically, you can wait until Matzah Shabbos. No, Bayrei, come take a look. Kama chaviva mitzvah b'shata. How dear and precious is it to fulfill a mitzvah in its appropriate time without delay? Shari hekta chalavim ve'varim. Being makter, the innards of the animal. Hekta chalavim ve'varim updarim. Ksherim kol ha'layla. You can do it throughout the entire night. Ve'im amtinim lehem ad shetechshach. We don't wait until nightfall. The chaylev, the pader, the avarim of the oila, this is the Karban Tumid. We don't wait until Matzah Shabbos, because chaviva mitzvah b'shata, and we machal Shabbos in the process, in order to expedite the process, because chaviva mitzvah b'shata, to bring it in its appropriate time. The Mishnah continues, however, that some things are not doicha Shabbos, things that could have been done before Shabbos, which were avoidable. Hakavasai, transporting the Karban Pesach to Rosh Hashanah, Habiyasa Chus Tchum, bringing from outside the Tchum, and also removal of its wort. V'raminu levakasha from Mishnah in Erevin. Choytchin Yabelas from Migdash. We can remove a wort from an animal in the Beis HaMikdash. Avalei Medina, but then outside the Beis HaMikdash. Rashi says, because there weren't guys around this thing. One goes on a shvus v'migdash. Vim bikli, but if it's going to be removed with a utensil, in which case it's a real malacha, kama kanasa. Then, it cannot be removed, even in the Beis HaMikdash, because that's a true malacha. So what do we see? The removal of a wart, manually, which only entails a shvus, that can be done in the Beis HaMikdash for the sake of a carbon. And now, Mishnah, we learn that it can't. We have a stira. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Zechanina. We have two Amiraim, who each offered a pshat. Chad Amar, one explained like this. The Mishnah by us, which doesn't allow, the Mishnah in Erevim, which does allow, are speaking about removal by hand, manual removal, which is only a shvus. So how do we explain the discrepancy between the Mishnahs? Ha belacha. The Mishnah by us is speaking about a fresh, a moist wort. In which case, its removal entails a shvus. You're detaching something from an animal. Ha beivesha. The Mishnah over there, which allows, is speaking about a dried out wort, which doesn't even involve a shvus. It's brittle, it's not detaching anything. Therefore, it's mutter. V'chad Amar, the other Amur, offered an approach as follows. Idi v'idi belacha. In both cases, we're speaking about a moist wort. Well, the kasha, the answer is, habiyad. The Mishnah there, which allows, is speaking about manual removal, which is only a shvus. Habakli, by us, we're speaking about removing it with a kli, with a utensil, which is a malach, and therefore it's us. Says the Gemara, why did one Amir choose his approach as opposed to the other one? Ulman de Omar, habiyad habakli. The approach, the Amir, which said that both are speaking about moist warts, by us was speaking about moving it with a kli. Over there, which allows, is speaking about moving it by hand. My time alay Omar idi v'idi biyad. Why didn't he choose the other approach? That both missions are speaking about manual removal. But like Kasha, the answer would be, ho balacha b'yibesha. Where it's aser, is speaking about moist, which is considered detaching. Where it's mutter, is speaking about dry. Why did he prefer his approach as opposed to that approach? Amalach, he'll respond to you, Yivesha, mifrach pricha, a dry wart, it's just crumbles, it's brittle. That's not called a wart removal. The Mishnah wouldn't even say chaitchen on that. That's not called cutting, that just crumbles. So the Mishnah there can't conceivably be speaking about a dry wart. Okay, that explains his approach. That's why he preferred his approach. That both Mishnah speaking about moist warts, depends if it's manual or with a utensil. Ulaman damar idim idim biyad. According to the other Shita, who said that both Mishnah are speaking about manual removal, well, Kasha, the answer would be, ha balacha b'yevesha. The Mishnah in Pesachim, which doesn't allow speaking about a moist wart, in which case it's detaching. The Mishnah which allows is speaking about a dry wart. My time aloy omar idim idim balach. Why did he prefer his approach as opposed to the other Amir's approach? That both are speaking about moist words. Well, like Kashin, the answer is Habiyad Habikli. The Mishnah which allows is speaking about removing it by hand. The Mishnah which doesn't is speaking about removing it by Kli. What was wrong with that approach? Amalach, he'll respond. You know why I avoided that pshat? Because Kli? Are you suggesting that the Mishnah by us is telling you you can't remove the word because he's using a Kli? There's no need for the Mishnah to tell us that. We already know that from Mishnah elsewhere. Hark, Tony Asa, Mishnah over there, and Erevin already told us, Imbikli, if he's using a Kli Kanva Kan Asa, whether in or out of the Beis HaMikdash, it's Asa. Why the repetition? Why would the Mishnah in Pesachim have to repeat the same halacha? Apparently we're not speaking about a Kli. Vidach. So what does the other Shita do with that, Kasha? Why does the Mishnah by us have to speak about a Kli? If this halacha was already taught in the Mishnah in Erevin that a Kli is Asa. Hadik Tani Kli. Hacha. The reason why the Mishnah over here chose to discuss a Kli, Plukta, the Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Aslashim Inon, who the Mishnah wanted to present the Machlekes, between Rabbi Lezer, who allows removing a wart, even using a kli, even if it's a malacha, because it's for the sake of a Karim Pesach, as opposed to Rabbi Yeshua says that something avoidable, something which could have been prepared before Shabbos, does not justify Chilul Shabbos. So that's the point of our Mishnah, to teach us the Machlekes, the Chiddush, that Rav Lezer would allow even using a kli, because he holds machshir and mitzvah deicha Shabbos, not only the Karban Pesach itself, but anything that's needed to prepare for the Karban, even something that he could have done before Pesach, can be done before Shabbos, can be done on Shabbos as well. Now Rabbi Shua in the Mishnah argued with Rav Lezer. He says something which was avoidable justifies chil Shabbos. I'll prove to you otherwise. What was Rabbi Shua's proof? He said, look, on Yom Tov, although you can cook, you can bake, for the sake of Eichel Nefesh, food preparation is mutter, but that's only because you're meant to do it today, fresh fruit, fresh baked goods, it needs to be done today, but something which could have been easily prepared from yesterday, even if it's only the Rabbanon, It's aser. You can't bring something from outside the tchum on Yom Tov. You could have done that yesterday. Likewise, when it comes to preparing a Karban Pesach, yeah, the shechita, etc., has to be done today, and it's Derech Shabbos. But transporting him from outside the tchum, that could have been done yesterday, and that can't be done on Shabbos. Rabbi Lezer disagreed. Amar Rabbi Lezer, Umayim shechita. If we find that shechita, which is a melacha, can be done on Shabbos, certainly a shvus, a bringing him from outside the tchum, can be done on Shabbos as well. Rabbi Shur responded, like we just said, from the Yom Tov. Although cooking is mutter, but a shvus, which could have been done before Yom Tov, is also. And Rabbi Lezer responds to that by saying, well, Rishua, how could you compare food preparation on Yom Tov, which is a Rishua, that's a non-mitzvah activity? So over there we have restrictions. But Pesach, which is a mitzvah, has no restrictions. So what is Rishua going to respond to Rabbi Lezer? Rabbi Lezer says, food preparation on Yom Tov is only Rishua, it's only arbitrary, it's optional. And therefore we have restrictions. Rabbi Shula Tame. Rabbi Shula wasn't fazed, because Rabbi Shula follows his Shita. The Omar Simchas Yom Tov Nama Mitzvi. He holds that Simcha of Yom Tov, food and drink on Yom Tov, is a full-fledged mitzvah. Therefore, he wasn't fazed by Rabbi Lezer's response. How could you compare food preparation on Yom Tov, which is a non-mitzvah activity? No! It actually is a full-fledged mitzvah. And if we find restrictions there, the same restrictions should apply to Karban Pesach. So Rabbi Shua follows his Shita, Damar Simchas Yom Tov Nami Mitzvi, the Sanya. And actually, we have a machlokes in this very topic between Rabbi Shua, who says Simchas Yom Tov is a mitzvah, which Rabbi Lezer held, it's a non-mitzvah activity. And that was the basis of his response to Rabbi Shua, the Sanya. Rabbi Lezer, Ein Lo Adam B'Yom Tov. The only options that are available to a person on Yom Tov, he has a choice, one or the other. Elo Oichel V'Shoise, either he eats and drinks, so he partakes in physical enjoyment, or he sits and learns all day, sits and davens and learns, partakes in spiritual ecstasy. His simcha is a spiritual simcha experience. Either one or the other, you have a choice. So according to Blazer, eating and drinking isn't necessarily a requirement. However, Rabbi Shua says, person has to split his day between both types of simcha. Chalkei, split the day into two. Chetzil achil v'shtir, half, is meant to engage in eating and drinking. V'chetzil beis hamedrash, half the time in beis hamedrash. So Yom Tov is a joint physical / spiritual simcha experience. From Rabbi Yechanan, u'shnei mikra echadarshu. Both opinions are based on the same pasuk. Because we have a stir. One pasuk says, atzeres Hashem alakecha. Yom Tov is meant to be designated for Hashem, for spiritual experiences. Because of Echad Omer, we have another pasuk, Atzeres Tehillachem. It's designated for you, for physical pleasure. So how do we reconcile? Rav Lezer Omer, Rav Lezer Savar, the pasuk is giving a choice. You have two options. Oy Kula Hashem, either completely spiritual, Oy Kula Lachem, or completely physical. It's one or the other. Rabbi Yeshua Savar, let's make a compromise. Chalkeyu. Let's split the day into two. Chetzi l'Hashem v'chetzi l'Hashem. Amar Blezer. Hakol Moedim, even Rabbi Blezer, who says a person has an option. He can engage strictly, exclusively in spiritual matters on Yom Tov, but even he agrees that there are some exceptions to this rule. There are some Yomim Tovim, some days within the year, where a person is meant to engage in physical delight. Hakol Moedim ba'atzeres on Shavuos, the Be'ina Nami Lechem. Over there, you certainly also need to engage in physical pleasure. My time. Yoyim Eshenit Nabay Torah. That's the day that Hashem gave us the Torah. Giving us the Torah indicates that Hashem wants the Torah to permeate the physicality of the world. How do we mark that day? How do we celebrate that day? Yeah, by physical simcha, physical delight, eating and drinking. And in that way, we show our gratitude to Hashem for allowing us to experience the Torah within the physical world. So that's agreed upon by all. Amar Rabba, Hakol Moedim B'Shabbos Tabin Anam Lachem. All agree, same thing regarding Shabbos. You need to have Lachem. My time, I've crossed the Shabbos Oinig. You need to have the light, which apparently is only if you involve your physical dimension as well. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Hakol Moedim B'Purim. Debin al amelachem. On Purim as well, my time. You mean mishta v'simcha ksebe. Mishta means physical experiences. Marbury de Ravina. So this individual, kula shata, the entire year, have a yosa b'tanisa. He would fast and fast, except levar matzart, except for shvus, upurya, on Purim, umali yoyim de kippur, and erev yom kippur. Why? Atzeres, like we said, yoyim shenitna by Torah, a day to celebrate matan Torah. Needs to involve food and drink. It's a physical experience. Matan Torah in this world is a physical pleasure. What about purya? You mean mishta v'simcha ksev, on Purim you have to eat and drink. Mali Yom de Kippur. What about Erem Kippur? The Tani Chiyar Barav Mitifti. He learned the Brisa like this. The Pasuk says, V'nisem Snasher Seichem. You want to deprive yourself. Experience Inoy B'tisha L'chodesh on the ninth day of Tishrei. How's that? V'chi B'tisha Mesanen? Inoy begins on the ninth? Ali Basir Mesanen. You fast on the tenth. Elo Loim L'cha. The Pasuk, which is making reference to Inoy on the ninth, is coming to teach us a profound lesson. Whoever eats and drinks on the ninth day in preparation for the fasting of Yom Kippur, or as Rabbi Yonah says, in celebration of the upcoming event of the Mechilas Avoynos, he's conducting a Suda on Erev Yom Kippur. That's held in such high regard. Malol of Akosav Torah regards it kilu misana chivasi. So he fasts not only on the 10th but also on the 9th. He gets so much schar. So he had a double fast day. So the Torah, when speaking about eating on the ninth, it's just a way of referencing eating. Your eating on the ninth is so chashev. It's as though you fasted. So the pasuk here is indicating you meant to eat on the ninth day. So that's why Marbury Darvin, even though he fasted throughout the year, but there were some exceptions. Shavuos, Purim, and Erev Yom Kippur. Rav Yosef says the Gemara, B'yoyim da'atzarta on Shavuos. He was so excited. He celebrated. Omar, he said, Avdili Eglatilsa. He instructed, prepare for me a third-born calf, a high-quality animal. Omar, he exclaimed, you know why I'm celebrating today? It's such a special day, Eloi Hayomi, if not for today, if not for Matan Torah, the Kagaram that brought this about, that caused, that lifted me to this great position that I'm in. Kama Yosef Ika Beshuka, look how many ordinary Yosefs are making the rounds in the marketplace. If not for Torah, where would I be? I'll be like everybody else out there. So it's a time to celebrate. Rav Sheshes called Lassen Yoimen Mahadalei Talmudi. He would review all his learning, all his Torah, every 30 days. And when he was done, V'toli V'koi, he would hang himself, he'd lean, B'ibra D'dash on the beam, on the, Rashi says, the Briach, the nail, the rod of the dasha, of the post of the doorway. So he would lean himself there, but Amani exclaimed, Chadoi nafshoi, my nefesh, be happy, be ecstatic. Chadoi nafshoi, why? L'chok roi. The Torah Shabbat that I learned was for your sake, for your benefit. L'chotanoi, Torah Shabbat Peh that I learned was for your sake. Be happy that you're permeated with the Torah that I learned. Ain't? Is that so that a person learns for his own benefit? V'amar blaze, ilmoli Torah. If not for the Torah, when the sky mesh my bars, the entire world wouldn't exist. Shenemar, imlo brisa yom v'layla. If not for my bris of yom v'layla, which is a reference to Torah, which is meant to be learned, yom v'layla. If not for that, chukai shemayim v'aretz le'samti, the laws of nature, I would not have established. So the existence, the very existence of the world depends on Torah. Chaim V'lajon writes that it's only because there's Torah being learned at every moment that the world exists. If there'll be no Torah. Even for a short moment, the world will just go back to Tohu Vavohu. So the world exists through the energy of Torah. So why is Sheshes focusing on his nefesh? It's for your benefit. It benefits the entire world. And says Digmar Meikara, initially, ki Ovid Inish, when a person learns Torah, adata de nafshei Kovid. It's to permeate his nefesh with Torah. It's for his own benefit. Once he's immersed in Torah, absorb the Torah, permeate the Torah, yeah, then he has an effect on the entire world. And that sustains the entire creation. Let's make a quick chazara to Isdaf. We began with a reference to Valkyrie, who in a way is equal to a Zav, must stay outside the Machan Shechina and the Machan Leviyah, because in both cases, it's a Tumah HaYotzeh Meguf, a self-generated Tumah. We had two pshat and Micha Krovov. We learned that it's tzaddik with Mechayim Mason Lassad Lovey. We learned about the intense illumination of the sun and the moon, and in the Machne Shechina, or according to one pshat, Olam Haba, illumination will come directly from Hashem, spiritual illumination, Ziv Hashechina. We had a source for Tchias HaMesim in the Torah. We learned about the Chavivus of Mitzvah B'Shata. We discussed the theory about Yabelas. We learned that according to Rishua on Yontav, the Simcha is a joined spiritual and physical experience, according to Blazer. A person can choose to engage exclusively in Simchas HaNefesh, but even he would agree that on Shavuos, on Shabbos, and on Purim, the physical element, the physical Simcha, is a vital ingredient, and concluded that Torah sustains the entire world. Be well and Hatzlacha Rabbah.